I'm
It's
really interested in your approach to history. You've particularly decided to be particular about a place. Is it because Fitzroy North is the type of place it is, and some of the houses and buildings are still there from the very earliest period,
Yes, that's right.
you're tracing the bones of the suburbs from its inception. Tell me about your approach.
Well, look, this really began for me by accident. My very first book about Melbourne was about St Kilda Road. And it was pre the internet days, so I had to go and search for people. Two things happened when I was doing St Kilda Road. One was that I found that the National Trust had a file on almost every old building that had been in St Kilda Road. And there were beautiful buildings there. There's only five left now of those. And then a property developer friend of mine gave me the equivalent of that time. So 25 years ago, when I was doing St Kilda Road, all the buildings that were there then. And so I had this fantastic source of information about every lot of land. And then I found the Sands and MacDougall directories, which are really just my Bible. I have been using those, and I look every 5 years at, the same street, the same place, over and over, and that's how I find all the extraordinary people who have lived there. Do you know, my thing is to look up any weird and strange name that I come across. I know this sounds so banal, but in Fitzroy North, it really worked because the demography changed so much. I mean, initially, of course, in the 1870s, and it wasn't a suburb, really didn't begin till the 1870s. Nothing north of Alexandra Parade existed. It was just open land and very barren land too.
It also wasn't
So,
called Alexander Parade. It was called
no, it
something
was
else. Reed Street.
Reed Street, that's right, yeah. So, and it was really a drain. I just couldn't understand why nothing had happened. There were a few buildings along the Merri Creek towards where Northcote is now, and that was much more developed than Fitzroy North. So then I found a reference to how horrible and windy it was in the winter and very difficult to traverse. And how hot and dusty it was in the summer. And I thought, oh, okay. So it wasn't very inviting.
Part of what reading your book, which I found incredibly fascinating because of the pictures, for a start,
Thank you.
and also because I've lived in Fitzroy rather than Fitzroy North.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
I've always known that there was a demarcation between the two.
Absolutely a demarcation.
There's a whole sort of feel of difference between the two. But one of the things that's quite fascinating to me and quite horrific is the speed with which there is a colonial takeover and the removal of the indigenous
Indigenous people.
population. They only arrived here in 1835, and by, as you
By
say,
1870, they had pushed everyone out of the vicinity of Melbourne. And if you read William Thomas's memoirs and diaries, because he was actually a really quite decent guy and devoted to the people, he was the protector of Aborigines, that was his title, in that early period. And so he was actually travelling with them and always trying to find a place where they could actually remain. And they just got pushed out of every place. So in the end, it wasn't disease, well, it was disease, but it wasn't that they were being shot or whatever. They were starving. That was why they were dying, because they were starving. And so because he had this real devotion to them and was trying to in a very colonial sort of way, but he really was trying to help them. And because we have his diaries, we know that along the Merri Creek there were huge numbers of Wurundjeri people. That was a
and it was a
really
meeting
big,
place. That's
yeah, especially where the Yarra connected with the Merri Creek.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
so
it's
that was
really
it.
interesting to get it visually in your mind because
Yeah.
it's such a short period of time. And
That's
what
right.
struck me was the speed of colonization and the bureaucratizing of theft, effectively.
Absolutely. And I mean, and it was so mean, like I didn't realize until I was working on this book, or maybe it was the Yarra River book, which was my previous one, that La Trobe actually organized for every dog to be killed in Melbourne. And he did that because, he said they were a nuisance wandering around the streets. But he did that because it was Indigenous people who had the dogs. And that was one of their ways of being able to survive, was that they used the dogs for their hunting. So there was just this kind of really very mean, using the law bureaucracy to kill people. I mean, it's an age-old thing, we've witnessed it in our own lifetime. So it's really it was a shock. But then also, it wasn't, I don't think it was very populated by Indigenous people. What is Fitzroy North now? The Merri Creek part would have been, because really it was just stony ground, and that was why they had the quarries there.
Yeah, that was interesting to me too, because for a long time I've wondered, because I was actually brought up down in Warrnambool, and of course the whole of Western District is full of extinct volcanoes, and there's a lot of bluestone basalt buildings, and
Yeah.
so I know where those buildings came from. But I've always wondered about the very old buildings in Fitzroy North and Fitzroy that are actually basalt, because it's such a
Yeah,
beautiful
that's right.
stone, very hard, very hard. So they've all been taken from quarries that used to be existent along
That's right.
Nicholson Street and places
That's
like
right.
that.
That's right. That's right. And some of the first pubs and churches were built for the quarrymen who were working there, not necessarily living there, but working in those areas. The effect of social change is really important for me because I'm a feminist, and so I always want to know what was happening with women. Also, the class system was so rigid and then got looser and looser. But Fitzroy North was really different in this way because it's not like South Yarra or Toorak or Fitzroy, or kind of mostly one class of person. Fitzroy North always had, so in the 1870s, a lot of people, new blocks for sale, that had just been surveyed and the streets were only just being made. And one of the reasons why Fitzroy North also came into existence, there was the Yang Yean train which went up to the reservoir where we were getting water from.
So you've got St. George's Road, which was the
St.
Yang
George's
Yean,
Road. Yeah,
which was
yeah, yeah.
taking you up to the reservoir, which is really
Yes.
interesting. But then there
Yes.
was also the business about Heidelberg Road, which was the one that was taking you up out into Northcote.
Towards
There,
Eltham.
yeah.
But the other reason why it happened very slowly, was that they set up a state school on Alfred Crescent. Now, all of those streets had only just really been created, as streets. They were all unmade. There was no drainage, there was no, oh God, So, but we had the very first in the World Education Act for secular free compulsory education in the world.
That's right.
And suddenly we had a school. So there was virtually nothing around it. I mean, there were a few houses and people were starting to move into the area because you could get, a block of land quite cheap and build a house. So people who had never imagined that they could own a house before had a house. And then along Alfred Crescent and McKean Street, much bigger blocks were available. So people who had become well off were building big mansions there, and some of those, a lot of those are still there too. And these poor kids would be sometimes coming from miles away, and there were hundreds of kids going to the school, with maybe three teachers to look after all of them. And the education department didn't give them enough to have a fence around the school. So almost every weekend, windows were broken, the lavatories were decimated. There were a lot of larrikins, and it's one of the things that I bring up, that in Melbourne, because we had such a huge young population and a lot of them didn't have kind of permanent employment, all of the empty spaces around Melbourne were quite filled up with young people trying to, find something to do. And they would have intermittent jobs, they'd run messages or they'd sell newspapers or
The population of very young people below the age of, I don't know, 15 was something like 43% of
that's
the
right. It was a
population, something of
huge
that
percentage.
nature.
And this was all a shock to me too. I didn't
Yeah.
know this.
And that
Look,
business about the in-between spaces being
that's
populated by
right.
these young people, it
That's
was really
right.
quite fascinating. It's just sort of like the 1980s, really.
Well, in a way, but also that Edinburgh Gardens, there was no such thing. It had been separated and wasn't going to be built on with houses, but it was a tip. That's all it was, really. And so, of course, that was a very inviting open space for young people to be.
You point out this really fascinating thing that Melbourne became the second biggest city in the British Empire
By the 1880s,
by
that's
the
right.
1880s, and that
Yes, yes.
the population,
500,000 people. It was huge. With no sewerage. 500,000 people and no sewerage.
the horse-drawn buses.
Yes.
And the cable trams were
Yes.
actually run by a private corporation. And it wasn't
Yes.
until the 1920s or something of that nature that it was actually taken over by what's now called the Metropolitan Tramway,
That's right.
tramways, when they electrified. So a
Yeah.
very enterprising, but it made a difference for Fitzroy North because it means people could travel from Fitzroy
Well,
North to
they
the
did. And
city.
not only that, quite a few of the workshops were at the top of Nicholson Street, or on the Merri Creek side. And then I just want to mention one more really important thing that I think was the old colonists' homes were established on the Merri Creek, and they still exist. And that began as, two or three cottages, to for people who had been in the colony since the beginning to be able to retire into. But the poor things, they're stuck over there on the Merri Creek and there's nothing near them. I mean, for heaven's sake. But of course, that still exists. And I talk to people who live there now, and it's become an architectural jewel in Melbourne because there are cottages there from every period beginning in the 1870s to the present day. So you can go into this, what is really an old people's settlement, and see the architecture of, 100 years of architecture there. So it's really.
Then of course, what happens is that there's a international economic downturn in the 1890s,
That's
and a
right.
lot of the people that built those two-story buildings in
Yes.
Fitzroy North, they either lost all of their money,
Yes.
or they moved already up towards Kew and places
Hugh
like
and
that.
Malvern and Toorak, yeah. But also, a lot of the people who had only enough money for a small place, there were hundreds of empty houses because people couldn't either pay the mortgage or the rent. They just couldn't stay there. And that was when a lot of the mansions became Salvation Army institutions. The unmarried mothers,
Seventh
ghastly
Day
sort of.
Adventists.
Yes. And it was such an interesting place. So then you have this period where you have institutions and poor people, but some of the wealthier people remained. They didn't actually leave. And then you'll see there's a double page of the occupations of people in 1900. I just couldn't believe that there was every kind of person that you could imagine living in Fitzroy North. From people, there were thousands of people who fixed shoes. There was a shoe repair place in every street, sometimes two. So because people didn't just buy new shoes, they had them repaired. And then there were confectioners, which were kind of the equivalent of, well, there were dairies. So, those sort of things where you could every day come and buy something. And so you had this very extraordinary mix always. And this is, I think, what has made Fitzroy North like it is today. You know, they're also terribly proud of the fact that it's so kind of varied and got so many things, but it had much more.
The other strong point about your history is that you actually tell us some stories about specific people. And one of the ones that I found incredibly interesting was Thomas Shadrach James,
Yes.
1859 to 1946. Now, he is a direct link to William Cooper and the Onuses. That's
Yes.
really fascinating.
The Aborigines League kind of began in his living room, and all those very important people who became the great early activists of civil rights, really, in effect, in
Well,
Australia.
he was from Mauritius, and he has a very
Yes.
interesting, I mean, you have to read the story to
Yes.
find out where he fits in, but he married
That's
into their family. And
right. That's
yeah, this
right.
is fascinating, isn't it?
And so there's that. And then, you know, there were lots of, you know, the fellow, you know, who invented physiotherapy.
I know. A world first.
You know, the Chinese detective. I mean, I just couldn't, you know, this is why that thing of going through the sands of McDougal and looking at every weird name, I Googled every weird name that I found. So I was looking at every 5 years from 1870 onwards, and every time I found a really, and I don't mean just Greek or Italian because I'm Hungarian, so I wasn't, you know, looking at that. And there were huge numbers of Greeks and Italians living in Fitzroy North. But it was so interesting to have done that. And of course, there were Chinese market gardeners all along the Mary Creek. You know, they were there. And then, as we move toward today, we had all of those groups who protested the towers going up, you know, where public housing towers, you know, that now they want to tear them down. But I mean, at that stage, there were, you know, a really awful photograph of that elderly woman with a rifle in front of her place saying, "My place is not a slum."
That's right.
They stopped it. And they didn't just stop it in Fitzroy North, they stopped it all over Victoria because they found out that the government was getting its supply from a certain source and that it was actually paying more for it than it could have if it went to another source. And so somehow they managed to stop the government from building any more of those towers
So
in Victoria.
they were showing that there was a element
Yeah,
of
they did
corruption
their
involved.
research. They were the most extraordinary people. And then saving the swimming pool. There were so many protests that worked.
Yeah, because what you're really showing is that there are groups of people from different hierarchies in society who made Fitzroy North their home because they love the
That's
place.
right.